As we approach the midpoint of Advent, we have two beautiful readings today, both of which are great encouragement, great consolation, promises that the Lord will provide for us in our weakness and our weariness. Each one of these readings is just a great meditation on the consolation that comes with relying on the strength that comes from God. I'll get to them in a moment, but it's interesting that these readings are the ones that happen to fall on this Saint's Day. Today is the feast of Saint Lucy, Santa Lucia, who is a martyr, a virgin martyr. And thinking about the martyrs changes our way of interpreting these readings, because we think of these readings about how the Lord will provide for us when we're weary and when we need rest. We think, oh, the Lord will give us a little vacation. And the martyrs remind us, well, there's a greater rest that the Lord is talking about. So I'd like to start with St. Lucy, or about this whole idea of martyrdom, virgin martyrdom. I'll start with something a little bit dry. Probably none of you knows that that Pope Francis last month issued a document to theologians, and in it, it wasn't particularly controversial, I don't think, but in it, he was saying to the theologians of the church, be sure that your theology connects with people's lives in the modern world, in the current state of affairs. Don't just get stuck in old formulas and repeat them over and over, and don't lose the faith in order to come up with some novelty. Theology has to be used for transmitting the faith in new ways. So, fine. I wouldn't even bring it up. Except one of the difficulties of the church in our times is how to talk about virginity. Because for the whole history of the church, virginity has been a treasured, honored, the glory of virginity. And that was true even in cultures, Christian cultures, up until about 60 years ago or so. It would be understood that if a young woman wanted to consecrate her virginity to the Lord, it would be countercultural, it's always going to be a challenge, but there would be something kind of noble about it. But in the times after the sexual revolution, virginity has taken on a negative connotation, as if it's a bad thing. It's a kind of a joke, and you don't want anyone to find out if you're a virgin, because you'll be rejected by your peers. And the whole conversation has changed pretty radically. So the challenge then is how to talk about someone like Saint Lucy, who consecrated her virginity to the Lord and died for it. So she's a martyr for the faith, but she's a virgin martyr. So she's countercultural in many ways now. All the martyrs are countercultural, because anyone who sacrifices his life or her life is automatically going against what is most natural to us, which is self-preservation. But then to make an offering of one's virginity to God goes against the idea of modern times, of current times, that says, well, what you should get out of life is the most pleasure you can get. And it has nothing to do with marriage or family life or commitments. It has to do with pleasure. So it's stupid to give up pleasure for no reason. Okay, so you see how different it is, and I'll leave it to the theologians to try to come up with a way of reaffirming the beauty of this kind of love, this totality of gift, which is what love is. Love is a gift of oneself. And the virgin martyrs are inspiring examples, or they should be inspiring examples, of this kind of totality of gift. My whole life for you, Lord. My whole life and every part of my life and everything that I, and my future and my relationships, all for you, Lord. That should be inspiring to us, because that's a great example of love. And it's actually a mirror of the love of God. So these virgin martyrs of the early church were held up before the church as examples and witnesses of what divine love is like. God gives his whole self to us to the point of laying down his life. And he doesn't divide his love. It's whole. And that's what the Virgin Martyrs do. Okay, so that's the Saint Lucy. Just a little thought about that challenge for our times. Now let's look at these readings. The readings assure us that God, who has the power to provide, will provide strength for us and consolation for us. I love this first reading, this is Isaiah chapter 40. He says, look up into the stars. See the army. See the army of the heavenly bodies. He leads out their army and he numbers them, calling them all by name. So God, who's so powerful that he knows every single star by its own unique name, you know, you've probably heard about this James Webb Space Telescope, which is making it possible to look further and further into the heavens and discover more and more galaxies and more, you know, billions, literally billions of stars. So the more we learn about the heavens, the bigger they become and the more stars there are. Well, God knows them all. He knows them all individually. So that kind of power is what Isaiah affirms here. And he says, if that's the way it is, if God knows every single star by name, well, how can you say the Lord doesn't know me or the Lord is disregarding me? He's forgotten me. It's impossible. Not only does he not forget us, he's not too weak to help us. And so the second part of the reading goes into this. Well, don't you know this? Haven't you heard this? The Lord is the eternal God, creator of the ends of the earth, and he does not faint or grow weary. His knowledge is beyond scrutiny. He's an absolutely secure foundation for your life. And then he goes on to say, he gives strength to the weak. Young men might grow weary, but youths might stagger. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and will soar as with eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. It's an affirmation that if we trust in the Lord, we have the strength we need. The gospel says something similar, but Jesus makes it more personal. He doesn't simply say, think about the greatness and the power of God who doesn't grow faint. He says, if you're weary, if you're burdened, come to me. Come to me. He makes the great promise that's revealed in Isaiah a personal offer. Again, this is the Advent pattern, right? The prophecy in Isaiah is fulfilled in Jesus. So Jesus says, come to me. I'm the one who provides strength for you. Take my yoke, learn from me. You will find rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. A passage that we can turn to any time we are weak or weary or we feel burdened and find consolation. Now, that should be enough if we trust in the Lord. But the thing is, when we are burdened, overburdened, when we're stressed out or when we're feeling pain, physical or spiritual or emotional pain, that's exactly when it seems to us like God is not providing up for us. So this passage, which is an answer to that problem, seems to be the least applicable at the very time when we need it the most. I have very often ministered to people who are on their deathbeds, and this reading is read in the administration of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. But sometimes people, when they're in these extreme conditions, they want to die. They want to die. Lord, take me home. And they don't die. They can linger for a long time. And you know this, people can linger in a condition of, in a burdened condition, pain or weakness. And it seems as if God is not answering the prayer. He's not providing the relief, and he's not taking them home either. But what are we supposed to do with that? Well, the example of the martyrs is what opens our eyes to another dimension. And this is where St. Lucy comes in. Lucy says, I offer my whole self to you, Lord. And along comes the Roman government and says, well, no, you can't do that. You have to worship the gods or submit to the pagan rituals or whatever it was. Or you have to get married. I don't remember her details of her life. And she says, no, I belong to God. And then the Romans say, well, you'll have to die. First, you'll be tortured. She had her eyes gouged out or something like this. She was put into extremely difficult situations, trying to break her will. And then, well, if that's not going to work, well, then we'll just kill you. And when a person's in that situation, how can she take these scriptures that say the Lord will provide, the Lord will protect, the Lord will give strength? He doesn't seem to be doing it. Well, he does do it. He does do it in a way that provides beyond this world, beyond this life. So the rest that Jesus promises is eternal rest, rest that doesn't get taken from us. And that's better than simply getting a little break, getting a little pain relief or a little vacation. Rest that lasts, rest that's completely fulfilling, that will never be shaken, that's what we really long for. Yes, we want a break from our stressful life, and we want a break from our burdens, and we want to be free from pain. And the Lord can provide that kind of temporary relief, and he often does. But even if he does, we still won't be satisfied, because some other problem will be burdening us the next time we wake up and say, well, now I've got a different problem, or I got the same problem again. So what we really are longing for is eternal rest. And that's why when someone dies, we always pray, eternal rest grant unto him, eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. Because that's what he or she wants anyway. That's what we all want. That's the gift given to St. Lucy. We honor her, not because she suffered, because everybody suffers. We honor her not because she died, everybody dies. We honor her because she's victorious over suffering and death because of her faith in Jesus Christ. That's the message to us. That victory is available. That strength for the weary is available. This soaring with eagle's wings, it is available. Even to people on their deathbed who can't do anything. No, they will soar as with eagle's wings if they put their trust in the Lord. And that's the encouragement to us as we journey through Advent. We're in this stage of waiting. We're all in an Advent. Not only waiting for Christmas to come, we're waiting for the time when we will be reunited, we'll be fully united with the Lord. And while we wait, we need this kind of hope that we will be given a rest that will never end, a satisfying, fulfilling, secure happiness. That's the great promise of the Lord, and that's where we put our trust as we journey through the difficulties of life.